Consider a model with population size as the stock and two flows of births and deaths. It's clear that we're ignoring migration into and out of the country. We use the stocks to represent the present state of the system and flows to represent the actions that change the state over time. It'll take some time for the flows to have their effect on the stocks, so the stocks tend to change more slowly over time. Stocks accumulate the effect of the flows, and they'll remain at their current position if there are no flows acting on them. For example, suppose births and deaths were to suddenly go to zero for a month. The population at the end of the month would be the same as at the start of the month. The only way a stock may be changed is by the action of the flows. In this case, the only way the population may change is by the action of births or deaths. Now consider a model that uses three stocks to keep track of the young, mature, and elderly people. The flows are clear to us because we're familiar with births, deaths, maturation, and aging. The total population is not represented in this model, but it's the three population stocks. This new model provides a clearer picture of the age structure than the previous stocks and flows model. So, we've talked about population models with one stock and with three stocks. How many do we really need? The answer is entirely up to you. You pick the number of stocks to match the dynamic problem under study. It's advisable to start with a small number and simulate the model to see what you learn from a simple approach. You can be surprised by the dynamics from a model with only a few stocks.